Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Text 11. Na nishritai uditai vadibi. Oh, I'm sorry. Brahma vadibi tata vishudyati agavan vata adibi yata hare Namapadai Udaratai Tat Uttamashloka Guna Uplambakam. Na nishkritar uditar brahmavadibhis tatha vishudhya jagavan vratadibhi yathahare nama padair udaratais tad uttama shloka gunopalambakam. Nishkritar uditar brahmavadibhis tatha vishudhya tyagavan vratadibhi yatha hare nama padair udaratais tad uttama shloka gunopalambakam. Na nishkritar uditar brahmavadibhis tatha vishudhya tyagavan vratadibhi yatha hare nama padair udaratais tad uttama shloka gunopalambakam. Ladies, please. Ladies, please. Na, not, nishkritai, by the process of atonement, uditai, prescribed, Brahma Vadibi, by learned scholars such as Manu, tata, to the extent, vishudyati, becomes purified, agavan, a sinful man, vrata adibi, by observing the vows and regulative principles, yata, as, hare, of Lord Hari, nama padai, by the syllables of the holy name, udaratai, chanted, tat, that, uttama shloka, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guna, of the transcendental qualities. Upalambakam, reminding one. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. By following the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or undergoing atonement, sinful men do not become as purified as by chanting once the holy name of Lord Hari. Although ritualistic atonement may free one from sinful reactions, it does not awaken devotional service, unlike the chanting of the Lord's names, which reminds one of the Lord's fame, qualities, attributes, pastimes, and paraphernalia. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord has special significance that distinguishes it from the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of atonement for severe, more severe, or most severe sinful actions. There are 20 types of religious scriptures called Dharma Shastras, beginning with the Manu Samhita and Parasara Samhita. But herein it is stressed that although one may become free from the reactions of the most sinful activities by following the religious principles of these scriptures, this cannot promote a sinful man to the stage of loving service to the Lord. On the other hand, chanting the holy name of the Lord even once not only frees one immediately from the reactions of the greatest sins, but also raises one to the platform of rendering loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described as Uttama Shloka because he is famous for his glorious activities. Thus one serves the Lord by remembering his form, his attributes, and pastimes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that this is all possible simply by chanting the Lord's holy name, because of the Lord's omnipotence. What cannot be achieved through the performance of Vedic rituals can be easily achieved through the chanting of the Lord's holy name. To chant the holy name and dance in ecstasy is so easy and sublime that one can achieve all the benefits of spiritual life simply by following this process. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares, Param Vichayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtan. The Sankirtan movement we have started offers the best process for becoming purified of all sinful reactions and coming immediately to the platform of spiritual life. Omagyana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmalitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. And before starting, I pray for the blessings of all assembled Vaishnavas here and on internet land, so that I hopefully will say something useful and beneficial for all of us this morning. So what we have here is a very important statement, and it clearly differentiates the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement from those persons who merely wish to be, and I put it in quotes, religious without trying or without being interested in developing love for God. It's mentioned that many persons, due to desire for material pleasure, may not be able to resist a particular temptation which comes their way. And they, although they may try to resist, and they may struggle to resist, nonetheless, because the desire for the pleasure is so strong, and the lack of real inner transcendental pleasure is so great, that they generally will yield to it and will then, either personally or through the agency or activity of some Brahmin or Brahmins, will have some ceremony or rituals or rites performed so that that sin that they committed, maybe it is taking intoxication, possibly gambling, or maybe illicit sexual activities, or maybe committing some unnecessary violence, or maybe saying something which is harmful to another human being, scandalous words. So he or the Brahmins perform this ceremony in order to remove the reaction that will come, the sinful reaction. A sinful reaction is generally a painful reaction. It's not pleasurable. When we harm someone, Krishna reminds us of what it feels like when we give harm, and therefore we receive harm in the form of some type of physical or mental or intellectual disturbance. And when we receive it, of course, it's very upsetting and very disturbing. And it may cause a disturbance in our personal life, in our family life, in our business life, our social life. We may become very ill physically. We may develop some kind of nervous tic. We may start losing our memory. There are so many things that can happen as a result of committing sinful actions and not atoning for them. So therefore they perform this atonement. Atonement may also be performed through various types of austerities. For example, if we gave out a certain amount of pain, for example 5 pounds of pain, then we may, through austerity, give ourselves 5 pounds of pain and thereby nullify the reaction that we normally would receive. So that's also a way in which one can be free of the painful reaction that will be coming in the near or later future. Sometimes we don't see the connection between the reaction that we receive and the sin that we have committed. There are some sins which may show a reaction almost immediately. For example, if you're walking down the street and you get an urge to shove somebody, and he happens to be very powerful and very strong, and if you shove him, you may get a fist in your mouth or you may have your teeth broken. And that's an immediate reaction. It doesn't take long. Or you may shove somebody and then start running, and if you're a faster runner than him and he tries to run after you and he doesn't catch you, and you feel that, well, you've really shown him your strength and you showed how fast you were and you didn't get away with it, and you got away with it. But you didn't get away, because at some time in the future you'll be walking down the street and somebody, either that person or some other person, will give you a shove, and then depending upon your state of consciousness, you will either shove him back or you will just ignore it or be indifferent to it, according to what you, where you are at spiritually. So there is no such thing as action without reaction. Pleasurable action or positive action, valuable action, is one receives also positive action or valuable or useful action, and painful is with pain. But as I said, the pain can come immediately, it could come later. But all pains that we receive are the result of actions that we have performed or thought, words that we have spoken. Generally, people often think that all these things which are coming to us, physical distresses and physical disorders or mental distresses, mental nervousness or excessive fear, excessive anxiety or worry, or when the intellect doesn't work as it used to work, we can't figure out problems that before we could figure out, our memory fails. So often persons think that this is merely accidental, that it just comes, you know, out of the blue. It just happens to happen. But that is not what our teachings instruct, that we are, in one sense, the captains of our fate. Everything that will come to us in the future and everything that is coming to us now is a result of actions that we have performed in the past or actions that we will perform now. So we are, in that sense, captain of our fate. But it is not just so easy as that. As it is mentioned here in the translation, persons will, quite often, they will try to nullify the sinful reaction by the ways I just mentioned. But the problem there is that although they nullify the sinful reaction, they are not able to nullify the tendency to commit that sin again. And that is really most important. Now, in this process of sankirtan, which involves the chanting of God's holy names, some very wonderful effects take place. For one thing, when one chants the holy name of the Lord purely, sincerely, seriously, it wipes away all sinful reactions from the past, from the present. In fact, it is mentioned simply by chanting one holy name of the Lord. Simply by chanting one holy name of the Lord, one can counteract the reactions to more sins than one is able to commit. So that means that the holy name of the Lord is so potent that one counteracts all of his past sins, nullifies them completely. Again, even a person who chants the holy name, if he does not purify himself of the tendencies to commit sin, then he will go on committing these sins. If he commits sins with the understanding or the idea that, well, I can always chant the holy name and wipe out or eradicate those sins, that is chanting the holy name in an offensive mentality. It is like saying, what difference does it make whether I commit a sin, as long as I can wipe it out? But that's like trying to cheat Krishna, who has established a morality, has established ethics. And when those ethics or morality has been established, then we must try our level best to try to come up to them, to fulfill them. And if we don't fulfill them, it doesn't mean that, okay, I've got the holy name of Krishna and I can wipe it out. Rather, the devotee must have a sense of regret or a sense of contrition, a sense of apology for having committed that wrong. And one prays to his spiritual master, one prays to Srila Prabhupada, one prays to the Supreme Lord Krishna for mercy. And mercy means not just forgive me for the sin. Yes, we do want to be forgiven for the sin. But we pray for the mercy to be able to resist the temptation in the future. Now, to be able to resist temptations is not very easy. But if one is fortified with a tremendous amount of inner strength or inner power, which comes from the grace of the spiritual master and the grace of Krishna, then one will have, as they say, the intestinal fortitude to be able to resist the temptation and control the mind. But if we do not have that grace, we may try again and again, and by our own endeavor, think that we can some way, somehow, prevent ourselves from committing that same sin which is going to bring us some reaction. So the point here is that when we chant the holy name of the Lord, it not only cleanses and purifies and eradicates the sinful reaction, but it creates within us a desire to love the Supreme Lord. And that is most important. Because it is through love of the Supreme Lord that we receive greater and greater grace from the Supreme Lord. And loving is characterized by surrender to the Lord. As Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. And he also says, abandon all varieties of different religions and dharmas and just surrender unto me. I will free you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So Krishna is giving, he's making a guarantee. He's saying, if you surrender unto me, if you give me your all, if you be frank with me, be honest with me, don't try to excuse your sins, don't try to justify your faults, but admit, yes, I have a weakness, Lord. I have these failings, Krishna. I need your help. I need strength. It's like a person who wants to lift up a weight, but he doesn't have enough muscle. So he works out, and then he develops the strength. So the workout for the devotee is the prayer. That's his workout. And his chanting. Praying, chanting is a prayer. My dear Lord Krishna, please engage me in your loving devotional service. And if you engage me in your service, then the activities that I will perform, which I will perform for you, those acts will be pure acts. And if I perform pure acts, acts which are filled with love and appreciation and glorification of you, well then I will get your grace. Of course, I can't demand grace. I may not even expect it because you're your own person. You're independent and you can do what you want when you want. But generally speaking, when a devotee tries very hard to overcome some difficulty or some problem or some trial or tribulation, and he learns the art of depending on Krishna, being conscious that unless I depend upon his mercy, then how will I be able to overcome this insuperable obstacle? So that's a habit that we all need to develop. Krishna makes mention of that. In all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but you act through false ego, not hearing me, you ignore me, you're indifferent to me, you neglect me, you can do it. You think you can do it on your own. You think just by your own endeavor, by your own willpower, you can accomplish it. Well, Krishna says, good luck. have a Merry Christmas. So what happens is that a devotee learns this secret, and Krishna is like a loving father, and he's willing and able to give us that mercy that we need to overcome those difficulties or those sins that we may be committing. So the chanting of the holy name injects us, we inject ourselves, so to speak, with Krishna. Krishna is non-different from his name, or his form, or his qualities, or his pastimes. Since he's indifferent, he's non-different from all of these, the result is that we associate with Krishna when we chant his holy name, whether we're conscious of this or not conscious. But as we become more and more advanced, Krishna makes his presence more clearly, more sharply known to the devotee in the form of various degrees of transcendental bliss. One may just have a very strong feeling in the heart when he's chanting the holy name. Or they may be bubbling ecstasy, so to speak. One may perspire profusely, even though it's a cold day. Or one may begin to tremble. Or one may, the hairs on one's arms and neck may go up. One may weep profusely. Sometimes we would see Srila Prabhupada, tears flowing down his eyes. Although he did not like making show, but sometimes it was irresistible. It couldn't be stopped. It was so intense. It was so overwhelming, that ecstasy. And we see this also in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So many different ecstatic symptoms or indications, expressions manifest on his body. Some which are not even mentioned in the scriptures. So the point is that as we chant more and more in a mood of surrender, in a mood of submission, in a mood of appreciation of all that the Lord has given us, then what happens is that the covering over the soul, this covering is made of ignorance. So the covering of ignorance begins to become thinned out. So what is this covering of ignorance? There are five coverings, actually. And one is, of course, we know that it is total forgetfulness of who we really are, that we are a spiritual soul, and that we are eternal, ever-existing, primeval. And in our true identity, our spiritual identity, we can't be killed by any weapons. We can't be burned by any fire. We can't be moistened by water or withered by the wind, because we are eternal, immutable, invincible. We are 1/10,000th of the tip of a hair, which exists in the core of the heart, which is where the super soul, Krishna, also exists. So Krishna is not very far away. He is nearer than our very breath. And he is there to give us guidance and help. From the time that we fell from the spiritual world, Krishna accompanied us. And his reason for accompanying us is one of mercy. To help us when we, due to these different ignorance and the illusions that they spawn, and we get into the trouble and we get into pain and problem, he's there to guide us, to help us as Chaitra Guru. Another kind of ignorance we have is to think we are our physical body. Number one, we forget who we really are, the eternal soul. Number two, we begin to believe that we are our material bodies. Number three, we begin to believe that with and through our material bodies, the purpose of life is really to enjoy life, to stuff the senses with pleasure. Let my ears enjoy, let my eyes enjoy, let my nose enjoy, let my skin enjoy, my tongue enjoy. So there's a need for enjoyment. If we have turned away from Krishna to become an independent enjoyer, then we are no longer associating in consciousness with the Supreme Lord. And when we no longer associate in consciousness with the Supreme Lord, we do not experience transcendental bliss, transcendental peace, transcendental strength, transcendental knowledge. We don't, or in transcendental renunciation or detachment, we don't have those. Those come, they are within the soul. And they become dormant when we are not, when the soul is not associating directly with Krishna. When we chant the holy name of the Lord, as I already said, it is the same as associating with God, with Krishna, because Krishna is non-different from His name. For example, if you have a match, and you strike the match on some carbon, or on some rock, well then we see a flame comes up. So dormant in the match was the flame. The flame was already in there, but it was covered. But when we strike the match against the stone or the carbon, the light comes out. Similarly, when the soul, so to speak, is struck against the holy name, the light which is within the soul, the joy, the bliss, the peace, the strength that is already in there becomes released. And we begin to experience real happiness, real bliss, real strength, real fulfillment, because we are in touch with Krishna. Jivera Swarupahoi Krishnera Nitya Das. It is the constitutional position of the living entity to serve the Supreme Lord eternally. But when we turn away from the Supreme Lord and instead try to become an imitation Lord, try to be a master of the material world, a controller of the material world, a big scholar in the material world, we may gain name and fame and glory and adoration and profit and distinction for all this, but it will not ease our heart and our mind at the time of death. Because when death comes and one does not know where he's going, then everything he has worked for, everything he has striven for, all that adoration, name, fame, glory, it's all comes to a big zero. It disappears. You can't take your PhD degrees, into this next world you're going to. If you go to Yamaraj, you say, well, you shouldn't punish me because, look, I got a PhD from UCLA. He said, I don't care what you got. I know the sins that you've performed, and that's all I'm concerned about. So, therefore, you will have to suffer for them. Yes, but I was the President of the United States. Doesn't matter. But I was a councilman. I was a congressman. I did so many good things. Doesn't matter. You committed sins. You forgot the Lord. You ignored the Lord. You neglected the Lord. You were indifferent to Him. You tried to present yourself as a Lord, and all you strove for is to be served as a Lord, which is why we come into this world, so that we can be worshipped and glorified and adored, which gives us the feeling of lordship for which we have come into this world. And all it does is give us a temporary, short-lived charge, pleasure, and then gone. Then we're on to the next pleasure. Now let me get some pleasure in my ear, then my nose. Let me do something that people will honor me. Let me score a touchdown. Let me hit a home run. Let me shoot 40 baskets in the game. let me create a law in which people will get a tax break and I will be responsible. People will love me for this. This is the way in which we try to assume lordship in this world, which does not give us the peace or strength or joy or happiness that the soul is seeking for but cannot find externally. It may find it for a moment or a minute. A person may be a president. He's a president for 4 years or 8 years, and then it's over. It's gone. Not only is it over and gone, but, for example, sometimes a person gets Alzheimer's disease and even forgets that he was the president. That's a rough situation. You got to this very high position, and then 10 years later, you can't even remember that you were the president of the United States. You can't even remember that you were like Ronald Reagan, that you were a famous movie star. You can hardly remember your own name. What is the value of all this accumulation, which will either be taken away from us either here while we're alive on this planet, or when we leave the planet? For sure, all those trappings will be gone. So Krishna is saying in this, he's saying that the best thing to do is to chant this holy name with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul. Chant it. And when you do so, do it sincerely. Do it as if it were your last minute on this earth. And then it will be intensely. And if we chant with that intensity, then Krishna will bless us with His grace. And He will purify our chanting more and more. And when we get that divine grace, it is, as I said in the outset of this talk, that it is a strength. It is a power which enables us to resist the temptation. The very power that Ajamil did not have, because he obviously did not do the things which I'm mentioning now. Yes, he was a Brahmin, and he went through the different ceremonies and rituals. He may have even chanted the Lord's name, it's possible. But unless a person is a devotee with a full feeling of dependence upon the Lord, and unless the devotee feels that he can't do anything, he can't achieve anything of any value unless he gets the mercy of the Lord. Because even if you achieve something as a devotee, this adoration profit distinction can go to our head. It can give us, fill us with this false pride. We can begin to think we're so superior to others. And it is this pride which goes before the fall. As soon as we begin thinking that we're superior, we begin to commit offenses. And when we commit offenses, in other words, we act in a way which is not proper. We don't appreciate other devotees. We may not like certain devotees. We may want to harm certain devotees. I've seen this over the years. So the important point is that we be free of this tendency to commit any types of sinful actions, so that our spiritual life goes on smoothly, and that so there will be a minimum of obstacles, hopefully not created by ourselves. Sometimes obstacles are created by Mayadevi at the order of Krishna for no other reason, to test us in various ways and to find out how sincere and how serious and how faithful we are. Sometimes our faith is tested. For example, in the Bible, I'm trying to remember, there's a character called Job. He was visited with all kinds of diseases and disorders, and there were deaths in his family, and he was being tested. And the test was is that he remained faithful to the Supreme Lord no matter what happened. In other words, he was not loving the Lord simply to get a good deal. That was not his idea. He loved the Lord because the Lord was worthy of his love. The Lord deserved his love. Why? Because the Lord is most compassionate, the most caring, the most sincere, the most powerful, the most opulent, the most everything. So who then should we repose our love in first? It is for the Lord, it's for Krishna, that we love all others. When we have love of Krishna, how can we not love others who are part and parcel of Krishna? So in that understanding, by chanting this holy name, we not only remedy, we not only wipe out or eradicate any sinful reactions from the past or even in the present, but we develop that kind of love which invokes the grace of Krishna. And when we have that grace, which is His special protection, then we are fully protected and we are well guided. Sometimes we say that in that song, "Oh my Lord, please maintain me, please protect me, please inspire me, please direct me, please correct me." We ask for this so that we will go on our path smoothly and so that we can awaken others to Krishna consciousness. The more sincere, the more pure, the more loving we become towards Krishna, towards His devotees, the more we're able to share and spread and distribute this Krishna consciousness. Because people will feel the strength and the conviction and the confidence and the affection that goes with our words. And when they are there, then, of course, those words come out with more sincerity, with more depth, and more promise for those who hear them. So I'll stop here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Are there any questions or comments? None today? Anybody? No? Thank you. Hare Krishna.